Well, hello. This is Rob Stone. It is November 19th, 2020, at about 3:24 in the morning, Central Time. And I'm up, and I've been wrestling with this feeling that I've got to pick the ball back up on trying to speak about what's been happening in my life and what it means for others. It's an interesting time on planet Earth right now. I think no matter where you stand in the world, there's things that have flipped your world upside down in the last year. Some things have affected us all in such drastic ways. Here in America, the week that my wife and I decided to start sharing more of our story, we shared on May 25th, that Monday. And then the world that week descended into a level of madness and chaos I've never witnessed in my time. I've seen some similar situations, but nothing to the level of what we've witnessed now in our generation of the events that went on during May 25th, and are kind of ongoing now. It just seems like a new norm of strange things that continue to happen. And you know, I'm not shocked by it. I've kind of been expecting these things, but they come in ways that you don't see it right away. And you just gotta stop and take a minute. Slow down and see a bigger picture. And if you don't see one, this is the best time to slow down and ask our Heavenly Father for the bigger picture. You know, give us this day our daily bread. Help us to understand and digest what it is that's happening every day. What is going on? And where is our place? And so my last conversation was that Thursday of that week. I talked about the two sides of our existence, feeding our flesh or spirit. And that feeding our flesh is likened to the beast, and that there is a number of man of his beast, and the references to that. Hopefully you've found that edifying and you've taken it upon yourself to dig deeper and begin to understand the truth much deeper than any type of literal interpretation of these very symbolic books that have been left to us. And the other side is the angel, another number of man. Instead of the 666 of the beast, it's 144. And it's significant knowing that that's also part of Revelation in 144,000. A symbolic number. And so there's things that I just felt that we need to discuss, because there's things that Jesus pointed to in himself in ways that he's the mold, he's the pattern, he's the way. And if we really are trying to follow that, then we really have to take a look at his life and his teachings, and you know, how does this line up? And I'm just very honest in everything that I say. If you're looking into your typical local church on how to accomplish that, I'm sorry, but you're probably going to be sold a lie. And it's not that it's intentional. It's just we have a very confused understanding of the Word of God and the examples of those who have been in spiritual leadership have fallen. They followed a pattern that has been broken from its inception. And so just want to let you guys know, I have to share more of my testimony so that the people can understand what I'm talking about when I say these things, that the current institution of church cannot be trusted. I don't care how good it looks, it can't. Not the institution. Now the people are a different story, and there's a purpose. And in love, we're all going to walk through this. It's just, it's going to play out differently for all of us, depending on What do we feed right now? What have we been feeding, the spirit or the flesh? These are moments of testing, and the more right now that we continue to point back to ourselves and how can we gratify our selfish motives in this season, judgment is falling on us. Those who choose that path, the judgment is falling. You see it in the headlines every day. And seemingly innocent situations, but they all point back to lives that were lived in vanity, lives that were lived in their own pride of life, which John tells us is we're missing the mark. If we are dead to ourselves, we crucify the flesh daily, then the path that we take is that of Christ. And the path that the current institution of church will show you is how to assimilate to Babylon, this metaphor, this way of living that is geared around money and having to be subject to it. I mean, look at the way this world has been crippled due to what governments and powers that be can do to try to protect themselves and others, and so many agendas, wars, rumors of wars. I mean, goodness, it's a mess. The best of us is a briar. It's a thorn. Says in Micah, in this time, there's not a brother or a friend that can be trusted. We're so corrupt. Our best intentions have paved the road to hell that we currently live in down here. And so there's a good news, I promise you. Though it looks bleak and it sounds bleak from the first bit of this conversation, there's hope, and that's what I want to give. It's just, we're in a rough patch of it. And there's no way to sugarcoat what we're standing in. It's deep, and there's a lot of it. And it stinks. It's a mess. But the first part of solving this problem is we have to identify it. We have to recognize that what we have is broken, and that there's not going to be a canned answer right now. There's going to be things that take a process of understanding, a revelation of understanding, and that's through experience. And all of the things that are happening in this world are geared in a way to help us understand that. We're going to experience it. This is what judgment looks like. We're getting our own consequences heaped back on us in this age. There have been things happening. There have been things that have happened that point to a transition in time. And I hope that as I continue to speak, you can listen and maybe not understand some of what I'm saying at first, but hang with me. Keep listening. Look for the patterns. And I encourage you, you're going to have to read these scriptures for yourself, or you're not going to understand. And so when you hear certain references, read, dig in, you know, and there's contact information on anything I put out here. Ask questions, you know, it's okay to message, and let's start a dialogue. I would love for more people to understand this mystery beyond just myself and a few others that I know are beginning to see things, but it is a mystery, and part of it is you can't just throw it out there. It doesn't work that way. Seeing people don't perceive, and hearing they don't understand. And so I know that there's not going to be the majority that will get most of what I'm saying. But hang with me, please. The goal is to edify those that are his sheep, that hear his voice, and know that the things that I'm speaking aren't to gratify myself. The things I know I have to say in order for those that are his sheep to hear his voice and follow and begin to change. And if we don't become who it was we were meant to be, then this world's a mess and there's no way to fix it. But that's not going to happen. There is a plan. It's been given to us. And right now, this is a very heavy testing time upon the whole earth that was prophesied and given to us. And through this, there are those that their life will end as chaff. And we're seeing people drop like flies right now. But there are those that through this will be refined. And on this concept, I just want to help you think about what Jesus laid as a foundation. He called himself the Son of God. And he did these things in such a way that he didn't call himself the Son of God the most. Actually, he called himself Son of Man, is his most common reference. And the first time that we see that is in Daniel chapter 7. And so when you begin to realize that he's helping us see a bigger picture, he's playing out things. And every time he plays out things, he quotes from them. And he's giving us a better idea, a bigger picture. But one of the things that he talks about is in John chapter 10. And he talks about him and his Father being one, and that, you know, the things that he says are of the Father, but they won't hear this. But other men, they'll come in their own names, and them they will hear. And just this chapter itself freaks me out a bit, because we're here. I mean, how many preachers in this institution of church have books out there that, you know, people won't read the Bible, but they're going to pick up the next book on this hot topic of prophecy, or the doomsday sayers and this prophecy, that it's a mess, or how to live your best life now, and, you know, just so many things that it's not God, it's us, and we're selling it, we're making merchandise off of him. In Proverbs it says to buy the truth and sell it not. And I don't recall Jesus ever charging for anything he did. But I do know that Jude called out those who followed in the error of Balaam and divined for money, for reward, that there are spots in their feasts of charity. And that Enoch prophesied of these things, and that was our warning in the early Christianity. Same with John. In the third epistle of John, he tells us of this pastor Diotrephes, and he describes him, who loves the preeminence. He's full of himself, won't allow him to speak in his congregations or any of his followers. And I look at churchianity in its large scope today, and that's what I see. All these people that speak in their own name, boasting of themselves. Sure, they talk about God, but it's not God they worship, it's themselves, their image. They love the lofty seats. They have the mansions and the kingdom now, in a carnal sense, completely missing it. Jesus said those that have the fine garments, no, they're not the ones. John the Baptist, he described him in a completely different way. Not a reed shaken in the wind. So just some food for thought. But in John 10, and part of this, he's talking about, now, for which good work are you guys going to stone him for? They're all upset. And they said, for, you know, good works, we're not going to stone you. But for saying that you're, you know, make it yourself God. And he answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? And if you called them gods, unto whom the word of the Lord came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. And then he says, you know, if I don't do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But, like, the works should speak for themselves. But this little peculiar piece here, the sons of God, those that the word of God came to. And I just went to Google. And if you just look up, you know, the word of the Lord came to, ... You know, Jeremiah, Zechariah, Ezekiel, like all of these prophets, the word of the Lord came unto them. These were also then sons of God. And you begin to realize that this is an ongoing thing. Then Ezekiel's called the Son of Man, you know, and the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel. And they were sanctified, just as it says in what Jesus talked about. You know, like Elijah, he said, my lips are not clean. And he purified them with the coal on his lips. And the same kind of thing happened with Jeremiah. And, you know, you could not be in the temple if you were not sanctified. And here, you know, Ezekiel is having visions in the temple. John the Baptist in the temple. Just some very interesting concepts to think about. And that this isn't an isolated situation. There's no new thing under the sun. These things are far more common. Job. You know, if we look in here in Job chapter 1, verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them, and they were to be tested. And that's when Job's testing began. And he overcame. He overcame through it all. And then if you read through Revelation to those who overcome, man, just look up. Overcome. And then look up all of the different phrases within it in the book of Revelation that talk about overcome. To them, the name of God is written upon them. The New Jerusalem. My new name. And when you look at the book of Revelation, don't look at it as if it's only future tense. It's past, present, future. These are the patterns. It's giving us the layout of how the Word of God has played out from the beginning. You know? And when you see the overlay in this pattern, this repeating process, it'll blow your mind. It all continues. And now, the things that Jesus started were at the other end. A continuation. There's been a cutoff, just like the prophecy stated. And then the pickup. When? After the 40 years in the wilderness. But for us, it's not 40 years. It's been 40 jubilees, 2,000 years. I won't go into great detail here, but there's a lot of parallels in these stories that show that this is what it was going to be, 2,000 years that we weren't going to know. And I'll go more into detail with this and the prophecy of this and how the word of the Lord came to me. But I want you to see that these things have happened before. And I'm trying to explain that this has happened again, and it's happened to me, and I don't think I'm a unique case. I want to know of others that the word of the Lord has come to. I had an experience in 2008 that I've never been able to shake, and I didn't understand it, and it's just now beginning to piece together, and it's been a little over 12 years that this has happened. Seems like a fitting number when you look at the pattern. It's very bizarre. In fact, from the first night that God tried to reach me, 4,444 days. Wow. That's pretty strange. Twelve years and 2 months. But I had the word come to me. And when it happened, I had no clue what was going on. It freaked me out. And in 2017, things began to make a lot more sense, but I had to put it away for a while. The experience I tried to share with others, and people just looked at me like I was crazy. And honestly, I understand. I get it. It sounded weird. I didn't know what to make of it. I mean, if you read some of this stuff of what has happened to these people in the Bible, it's weird for them too. I mean, it's some strange stuff. It's just, seems like we haven't experienced these things. And instead we've had imposters. We've had people that have thought they've understood these things, but no, we weren't going to. We weren't supposed to. And when you see the prophecies, you begin to realize that it was cut off. And now that we're standing on the other side of this time period, through my life and through Revelation, the experience, I've seen these things for myself. And so if you read in Revelation 12, verse 11, it says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, that they did not shrink even unto death. They didn't fear for their lives. Unto the death. And you know, it's a grace that we didn't earn. That did happen in my life. There's a moment of great forgiveness. I'll speak more of this as time permits. And then the story of how my life changed in a very peculiar year and time. And everything that had been spoken prior began to make more sense and freak me out, to be honest. Why are things matching in such a way that show a beautiful display of mathematics and feast days, things that are just matching the Word of God, patterns in the Word, numbers that are used, dates, context of things happening in people's lives that begin to match in mine, and then reveal that there's been patterns of this happening. I just didn't know what I was looking for. And again, I'm not a unique case. I know I'm not, because I've met other people that when they begin to share with me their stories, I see the patterns written in their lives too. And all of the people that I've seen these patterns, the one thing that we all have had in common is that we've all looked at our death in the face. We've all cried out to God, and He's met us. Undeserving as we were, caught in our sin, dead in our sin and our trespass, cried out, and He came. Now, does that mean that we immediately understood and everything about us was changed and we're instantly looking like little Jesus is running around? No. No, most of these people have yet to really even take on a dedication of following Him, though the seed has been planted. They've been marked, they've been sealed, just as Paul describes for the day of redemption. And I'm praying that the more I'm able to share, just like it says, the word of our testimony, that others will begin to understand what's happening in them, just as I'm beginning to understand what's happening in me. That there's a change happening, and that things have to change from within. Because that's where the kingdom of heaven is. The kingdom of heaven. You're not going to find it by observation, but it's within us. His spirit is in us. And the more that you can see these correlations about the fact that Jesus gave us a pattern of fully God and fully man. We're starting out completely fully man, but what does God say about us? We're made in His image, but we've rejected that. And those that will continue to live carnally minded won't live in the garden, just as Adam and Eve couldn't, but there's been a new Adam and a new path and a new way back to the garden. But we weren't going to know it because it was to be cut off. The head of prophecy was cut off with John the Baptist. It was forerunning, showing that the Messiah would also be cut off just as prophesied. And then even the movement of His spirit afterwards. Paul, being the apostle to the Gentiles, his head was cut off too. The only two that you see in the New Testament, Paul and John. It's kind of like the bookends before Jesus and after. Paul called himself the last and unworthy of the calling, knowing that he was the one that persecuted those that followed Jesus. It's beautiful in how it was all played out. There's so many details I wish I could share with people and they get without just glazing over. But the numbers and patterns are just, wow. If He's perfect in all of His ways, when you see the golden thread and everything, it's mind-blowing. But the most important thing is I want to spark a hope inside of others. He stands at the door and He knocks. He's not a respecter of persons. He'll come to anyone under any circumstance. And He's looking for a broken and repentant heart. And right now, that's why this world is in the chaos that it's in, is that unfortunately, we tend to have to come to our bitter end before we recognize these things and repent. We have to see the full manifestation of the blood on our hands. Living the selfish life, living the way that we do down here. And it's not going to get any better until we as a humanity change. Necessity is the motherhood of invention. It's a great phrase. We're at a place where we need to reinvent ourselves. We're going to die. We're killing this planet. We're killing ourselves in the process. Now, there is a promise. There is a reset that's going to happen. We don't need to try to take this into a political action or any type of activism. rather than we all have a job to do, and it's to work on ourselves, our own salvation, our own sanctification, our own process by faith of following him the way that he has taught us. And you know, I thought I knew that. I grew up in church, and what the church will teach you is how to compromise with Babylon the entire way. And he says, get out of her, my people. Not shake hands with the devil. It's ridiculous. Those that are at the top of our Christian world, if you will, those that are on, you know, the TVs, the big players, those are the political advisors to the president, the Pope, all these people. They're living under a facade of things that have passed down time over time over time, and just a continued degradation of Moses' seat, is how Jesus put it in Matthew 23. And he told those people that they'll go to great lengths to form a proselyte, a follower, a disciple. And then when they're done with them, they're twice the child of hell that they are. Meaning they're creating a situation now that we live in that's hell. Not an aftermath situation. This is now. And so spiritual hypocrisy is what creates the conditions of hell. If we really take a look at what Jesus is saying, it's amazing. And it's true. You're believing an image of God, a form of godliness, but the power denied thereof, because it's not him. It's an idol. It can do nothing. It's a graven image that we've made on what we think God looks like, what God acts like, and we don't know. We don't understand, because our faith is dead. Dead. All of those that are to follow him and to be disciples, he says, unless you forsake everything to follow me, you're not my disciple. Luke 14. Read it. Count the cost. It's going to cost you everything. And I didn't understand that in the churchianity I grew up in. And I even had a season of rejecting God in my life. But as time permits, again, I'll go into more detail, but things changed in 2017, and he came to me. The word of the Lord came to me in 2008. Didn't understand it. But things began to manifest in 2017, 9 years later, in ways that, as I continued to share, freaked me out and explained so many things, not only in my own life personally, which as I share, I hope that revelation will come to those who are experiencing similar situations in their own life, but the bigger picture, the timing of things happening across the world, the stage for it all, not just in my own life, but how it's tuned to the patterns of God and what he's doing, and that people like me are being made an example of, just like those that were his chosen have been since the beginning of time. The difference is with Christ being the focus, we have the opportunity to be sanctified, and as to where times past, Israel failed. This is the resurrection. This is the other end. This is a time where his spirit comes to us in a way, and it gives life, and our reliance is upon him changing us. But we have to allow it, and we have to then put that faith into action by circumcising the flesh. And that's what happened beginning in 2017 in my life, is things began to be cut away. Some voluntary, some not. And I will tell you, those that were voluntary, far less painful than those that were just the rug pulled out from under me. But he chastises those that he loves. And through it, he has shown his grace and his mercy in that judgment in my life. But I will tell you, it is a fiery furnace of affliction. And that is what he has chosen for those that are his. He's told us that in Isaiah. When is the servant greater than the master? And we look at all these scriptures that describe Jesus, afflicted, smitten of God. And I tell you, don't look at him as the only one that's going to stand this way. But we have our own cross to bear. And for the last 3.5 years of my life, this is what I have had to endure. I've lost everything. I've lost family, friends, business partners. My business, everything has been forsaken in a way that I am unrecognizable to myself and others. For his name's sake. Didn't intend for a lot of these things to happen the way they did. But just as Christ went and was baptized of a forerunner, so was I. And straightway he was led into the wilderness to be tempted. And likewise so have we. My family and I have been through the test in the wilderness. And it's time that we share our experience, because it's not one where now we're on the other side and everything's rosy. No, we're still in it. But just the same way that Paul was. He said, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast in my infirmities. I'm going to show you that even though life doesn't seem peachy, I can share with you the good still and the hope that I have. And the things that have changed within me as he's been refining who I am. And my love and passion for others is, it's his love and passion for others. His spirit gifted to me. His fruits. His gifts. And I'm just looking to cultivate these things, you know, to be a good steward of what he's given to me, knowing that those who've been given more will be given to, and those who don't have even what they think they have is going to be taken from them. And so those who call themselves the church and are still stuck in this broken sense, doing things the way that the institutions have been doing them, missing the point, creating graven images, and using figures of speech, not literal circumstances. But they've missed the point, and I've seen things firsthand, and I'm going to have to share things. Try to share them in parable as much as I can, without names, but these are several pastors, evangelists, preachers that all spoke things into my life that, yes, I knew that the Spirit was speaking and that there was good, but then also seeing the corruption and us not being out of this time of exile, and it showing up in the fact that these people, as close to God as I thought they were, they're still broken people, and they're willing to live in a continual state of it rather than repentance and changing, but to continue on with the broken model, to sweep things under the rug and play this game. And I've tried to reach out to these parties. I have looked for opportunities for reconciliation and one-on-one conversations. None of them want to talk. I just get ghosted. Although they've said, you know, you're always welcome, you know. And then you show up and they freak out and hide from you, leave. Ignore your calls, texts. It's, wow. I will say there's been a couple that I didn't think would reply to me that actually did. And they gave me the time of day and heard me out. And that was shocking. So as I share these stories, I'm sharing stories of what I call my deliverance from churchianity. From recognizing that the institutions of church have been wrong for 2,000 years. And that the scriptures prove it. And my experience backs it up. I have been made a witness. And he says, in those days, I'll make you my witness. We're not going to have to try to force anything. And I didn't. I cried out to God, and the changes he began to make in me placed me on a path that these things happened to me. These revelations are things that were given to me as gifts. Although at the time, some of them were very painful to endure and to try to understand. But as James says, consider these things a joy, knowing that that's a fruit of his spirit, and that there's a gift in here if we'll stick it out. There's a gift in here if we know what we're looking for. And not that we're looking for gifts, like this world looks for gifts, but things that his spirit provides that no man can. Ways to help this world. Gifts of understanding, knowledge, healing, prophecy. Things that we desperately need in an era and a time where there are no prophets. There are no people that understand God. There's only hypocrites that say they do. And people that are, they're sincere. They're sincere. I have seen these people, and they are so sold, they've drunk the Kool-Aid. They are drunk on the blood of the innocent to the point that they have had their conscience seared with a hot iron. And they will believe this delusion that they have painted for themselves. in this carnally minded way that we have looked at the Word of God over these last 2,000 years. And unless we can strip this flesh and perceive rather than see, we can begin to understand rather than just hear these things, and we're just stuck with all of these churchianity, Christianese cliches that we don't understand. I take you on a trip of understanding and revelation through my life, and then being able to see that parable in your own. But we were born to be the sons of God. We were born to be those that would follow in His footsteps in these testings, in these times. And there is a group of us out here that, though it may not seem we're perfect, He says, blessed are those that God will not impute sin upon. David understands what that means. He should have had death based on the things that he had done. Committed murder and adultery. Being at the highest position. King. But yet still God being merciful and gracious. Slow to anger. Abounding with loyal love. I'm beginning to understand more of those sides of Him, though in moments of my unrepentance, knowing that He does bring chastisement, I have felt it. I felt it for my own sins, and then for the sins of others and circumstances that are just broken in this world. And I'm not alone. I know there's many of you out there that are trying so hard to be the right person, to be a good person, to show love in a very difficult time, and you just are like, man, is it worth it? It is. We can't grow weary in well-doing. Not in these days. It's the whole point. It's not supposed to be easy. He says, though I know that you're weak and you have a little strength, you've not denied my name, which is to continue to follow this path, this way, so that His name is what's written on us. Not our own. We're covered by Him, His Spirit guiding us. And if we continue to feed ourself, we're not going to get there. And that's why we have to let that part die. And the more that we continue to feed it right now, the more it's going to hurt. Just like those in the wilderness had the venomous snakes attacking them, the cares of this world and other people fighting for their own, it's going to be this poison. Spiritual hypocrisy. What does Jesus say? They're like asps. Paul, they've got the poison under their tongues. Religious hypocrisy. If we look at the symbolism, Adam's wife was Eve, and Christ is the new Adam. Instead of flesh unto death, it's spirit quickened unto life. Well, then who is Jesus' bride? Who's the new Eve? Well, Paul gives us that clue as well, as the church, the true followers. Ah, but Eve was beguiled. Beguiled by what? The serpent. The only people that Jesus and John the Baptist referred to as the serpents would be those in spiritual authority. Generation of vipers, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? The wrath is coming, and it's been. And it will only continue. And whoever's going to be in power in America, I don't care, I don't have a dog in the fight. None of them are going to be following God. The people that Trump has hired as spiritual advisors, they're modern-day Balaams. They divine for money. That's what this is all about. They've missed the point. And so any other person then getting in, it doesn't matter. What's going to happen is America will be used as a Nebuchadnezzar to punish God's people because of their continued disobedience. And so Israel, as a nation, will be punished. You'll see this play out. And then those who call themselves followers of God, they will be punished. All the things happening in this day and age are going to choke the life out of those who are going to say they are believers and not follow it. They'll be proved unto death. Death has to be abolished. And so those who will continue on this way, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? Depart from me, I never knew you. And then they're going to be sent there to the grave, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the difference is, those that were the goats rather than the sheep, What did they do unto the least of men? They saw the Spirit of God in the least of men and fed them that were the sheep, and they were there with God to the right hand. Life everlasting. Those that are going to stop fighting against anyone else. What do we do with our enemy according to Jesus? Love them. And why the heck do we have so many people looking for their Second Amendment rights so they can continue to shoot? So you can continue to be a Peter and lob off ears? Like, I don't, again, politically, I don't have a dog in the fight. This isn't about gun control, but why are we fighting for all the wrong things? None of this is what God cares about. This is what man cares about. This is what fight or flight teaches. Fear, greed. And the root of it is evil, and we're all confused down here. He says, to those who overcome, I will give to the rod of iron, just as it was given to me. You'll dash your enemies as clay pots. Well, we're going to be at the top of the mountain, blowing trumpets and smashing clay pots, while all of those who oppose themselves will be in the valley of confusion. And that's what this world's all about. But there are those who have ascended, those who are seeing a higher level of understanding by the way of his Spirit, and we are above the waters. As Jesus walked on the waters, so are we. You got to understand the metaphors. If you don't understand these earthly things, how can you understand the spiritual? Every time water is used in the Word of God, it's been a symbol of chaos, destruction, from the beginning. Any pattern that you're looking for, look back on chapters 1, 2, and 3 in the Bible. It's been extremely great advice from Tim Mackey of Bible Project. That these patterns that emerge from the beginning, there's no new thing under the sun. Just further continuation and development of this process. And it has to play out with this Sabbath day, with this 7,000th time period, this transition from 6,000 into the 7. We're at this time period. The signs in the heaven have declared it. I'll talk more in detail about these things because I think each one's going to need some time. I'm just trying to develop some dialogue to understand there's more within us. And he's awakening a group of people right now that their lives have been turned upside down. And if you haven't just stopped, you're just going to get more and more of the same. You cannot continue to strive. And I know this from my own experience. It's like trying to paddle in quicksand right now. I can go nowhere. I feel like I am captive. Paul says, I'm a bondservant of Christ. Paul can only do what God was going to allow him to do. And he said that he showed him the things that he must suffer for his name's sake. And you know, these are the things that all of us must. Peter says, don't think it strange when these fiery trials come upon you. This is the testing of the sons of God, just as what I've been trying to tell you. Those, if you read John chapter 1, who follow Jesus Christ, they've been given the opportunity to be sons of God. But those who have said that they are the sons of God right now, they're part of the Antichrist system. Anyone who's not part of the truth is against it. Even John said, this day there are many Antichrists. Anyone who's not following the path of Jesus and saying that they are, they're creating the conditions of hell on this earth. I mean, if we're all down here, if you look at, just Google, world religions, Christianity is the largest worldwide religion. And if all of those people who said they were Christians forsook everything, sold it to, for all of us to start working together to solve the world's problems, I don't think we'd be in the problems that we are right now. There's no way. No way. Which tells me there's none righteous. No, not one. We are broken. But there's a group of us that are coming together to build the walls. On the sixth day, as they marched around Jericho, that was the last day before the seventh, the Sabbath. That day they went around 7 times and the wall came down. Well, the sixth into the seventh, the sixth seal, was the 144,000 activation. And if you look at 144 cubits, that's how high the wall of the Temple of New Jerusalem is. measure of a man, that of his angel. And so I can see now symbolically that the wall being built. There are those of us that are working through a process to be living epistles in this day and age, purged, cleaned, redeemed from the earth. Not by our own doing, not by our own works, but by grace. He'll stack the deck. We just have to keep walking through it. Not that it's going to be rosy. It's full of tests. But then as we walk through this as first fruits, he says that those he did foreknow, he did preordain, predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, to be the firstborn of many brethren. If you look in the sixth seal, first it talks about the 144,000 who are numbered and then also named. Then you look at what comes after, what was seen instead of just heard. Then it's multitudes more than could be counted. First fruits unto many. Others are going to make it, and it's going to be through great trial and tribulation, but it only because they see the example in us. Those who are going to be the first fruits and the second, this latter reign. And we first have to gather. The elect have to begin walking with the elect. How can we expect this latter rain to start coming down if the clouds have not yet ascended and collected? If you don't understand these earthly things, then how can you understand the spiritual? So, you know, I don't share this out with the world on my social channels. I'm just going to put this out here to the podcast that I started back in May, 175 days later. And to those who have ears, reach out. I want to find others who, you know, I haven't shared details about these strange things happening in my life, but those that are hearing this know what I'm talking about, because you've had these things in your own life. I'd like to hear about them. I want to know more, because we all know in part, we see in part. And if we can be long-suffering and patient with one another to hear each other out, then what's known in part will be done away with when we all come together. And we'll begin to see the bigger picture of how we all fit into this temple. And that for us to come together means that that gives an opportunity for him to dwell, just like he did in the upper room on that day. And I would love to gather with others who aren't going to claim to have all the answers, not going to try to force some carnal agenda, a carnal ordinance. It's not about that. But coming together in faith, saying we don't have the answers, but we know there's something more that we're missing, and that it's his spirit that has to come to us for this next piece to happen. And praying on how do we come together? How do we gather? We have a Facebook page just called Off the Beaten Path Family. And you can connect with us there. Through the podcast, there's some opportunities, I think, even with Anchor, in order to send a message out, I think. But please do reach out. Off the Beaten Path Family on Facebook, message us, like our page, and just follow this story along with us. We are a family of six that live in an RV full time and have just been traveling where God has led us, and we've been in various places under different ministries, different services that are very unconventional, not your typical way of doing things, but forsaking everything to follow him, and in doing so, loving and serving others and seeing ridiculous signs and wonders along the way, all while still facing persecution and hardship from things that, if it weren't written in his word, I wouldn't believe it to be true. And if any of these things ring a bell with things that's happened in your life, especially around this 2017 time period, I've met others. We need to talk. We need to come together, and we need to realize that until we do, we're just going to keep grabbing at straws. We're going to be in a holding pattern. But he's pulling us together. That's why I felt compelled to speak. I don't do it often, and I probably need to do it more now, but with fear and trembling, and speaking with the tongues of angels, I'm saying these things that the Spirit has brought to me, connecting things in Scripture that have become a part of me. And I pray that you can follow in the same footsteps, knowing that it's not the easiest path I've ever taken, but yet I know it's right. And his yoke is easy, his burden is light. the hardest parts have been letting go of who I was and who I am connected to this world. The flesh just wants to kick and scream the whole way. But every time, the spirit rejoices when the burdens are taken off. And the mask and the blinders that this world puts on us are taken away, and we yet have another level of freedom. The sun sets free is free indeed. And there's a hope that as we continue in this process, that this world will change. We might see some ugly fallout. There might be some indignation that has to play out in these last days for final portions of judgment to play out. But we have to have faith to know that there's always a remnant, and that it's God's will that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. And where the letter has killed, the Spirit gives life. And in this season, it is representative of the Spirit. There's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And in this third day, this third time period, this last millennia, and any other time where there's been death, there has been a promise time and time again on this seventh day, on this transition into this millennial kingdom. There's hope. Biblical hope, which means we have to look at what God's done in the past and realize that he's a good God and that we've been a messed up humanity, even those that he's chosen. Those in the past have failed him. But he's continued to keep us in that covenant love. And to those who will walk in this covenant of his blood, of his bread and cup, his testament, his life, man, it is life everlasting. There are things changing that we don't understand. We'll not all sleep, is what Paul says. And I have hope in that. Love conquers all. And in a world that hearts have grown cold due to the increased wickedness, it's his spirit coming to us. It's his word coming to us in these days that will change things. We just have to be the ones to take action and put faith into action so it's not been dead just like it has been for the last 2,000 years. Spots of feasts. Spots in our feasts. This has gone on for a little while in conversation. I don't want to ramble too long any longer with this particular session, but I'm going to talk more specifically about my testimony in the next few. And in the meantime, follow along in these patterns. I'm going to put in some links to some Bible Project videos that talk about God, talk about the angel of the Lord, certain concepts that I want us to take away any preconceived ideas of what we think these things are and allow these teachings to open our mind further. And these aren't even all-inclusive, but man, they've really helped me see things in a brighter light. And I do believe that Tim Mackey and what they're doing there at Bible Project, they are a form of John the Baptist for our generation. In the prophecy of Isaiah, he's supposed to come to set things straight. And there's been a severe misunderstanding of the Word of God over the last 2,000 years, and I believe it's been a gift that this man has been given to lay out this concept, and it's in the clouds. He says he's coming in the clouds. And so these things on Bible Project are laid out to give us a much better understanding of the bigger picture. And when you can hear my testimony in light of a better understanding through the lens of Bible Project, you begin to see how our lives are playing these things out again. And his spirit is coming to us again. And so let this front runner speak to you. Repent. Know that we've been broken. Admit it. And then say, let me put on a new lens, a repentant heart, knowing that we've got to change. And if my people who are called by my name, right, the sixth seal, the sixth church, to those who overcome, I will write upon them the name of my God. Those who are called by my name, my new name, the word of God, Revelation 19. If they'll humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, he's going to hear from us. But we do have to repent, and that's been the message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, because his word has come down to us. Now what are we going to do? It's his word that's going to judge us based on our actions now that it's been presented. meditate on these things. I love you all. I speak with all sincerity and seriousness, but I want you to know there's hope. Though these tests are fiery, there is hope. And I'm praying for you. Our lives have been difficult, but I will tell you that he's never left us begging for bread. We've always had something taken care of for us. It's not the peachiest of situations to live in, but it speaks to his contentment in us and his spirit of knowing that in all things, I'm learning to be content and having self-control, patience, and long-suffering. And I pray that it gives you hope that through whatever trials come, this season it's meant for it. Embrace it and ask him to reveal in these moments, what is it for and how can we be shaped closer into his image through it and not let these moments go to waste. They're here to refine us. Till we talk again, this is Rob. And I appreciate you hearing me out on my rant. In this meditation and thinking out loud, there's been some things that I've come to understand just in speaking these things out loud. And thank you for listening. Be blessed.